Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in that wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we have sung together already what a friend we have, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We thank you today, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son. Father, if we share with Betty today in the loss of her son, yet, Lord, we're reminded that God gave his only begotten Son and is acquainted with our grief. He understands our sorrows. He knows what pain is. He knows what it was to see his son upon a cross and to have to turn his face. And Lord, we realize today that Jesus understood the manner of death personally upon a cross. And then, Father, before that, he saw those who buried their loved ones, and he wept by their grave and he wept with them. And our Father, we want to thank thee today that we can come with that help and with that strength, knowing that even today, as we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus, you've promised to be in our midst. You've promised, Father, that where we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, your presence would be in the very midst of the people. And Father, we thank thee today that we have these helps from the Word of God, these comforts. And Lord, we come to pray. We come to ask your divine presence and help. We come to ask, Lord, for the comfort that the family circle need today. We ask you, Lord, not only for this moment in time, but even throughout this afternoon and through the night and through tomorrow and through the next day. And as weeks draw into months and as months draw into years, we realize, Lord, there's always that constant need of the comfort of God. And so, Father, we pray that, dear Father, you will undertake, Lord, for Betty and her other sons today. We pray, Lord, for the whole family circle, that they'll be so conscious of that divine help that can only come from thee. Undertake, Lord, for the preaching of the word today and for the sharing from the precious scriptures. We pray, Lord, that every word will have relevance and meaning today and know that guiding of the Holy Spirit. And our Father, we pray that even today, that as there are those who are gathered here who perhaps know not the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that, Father, they may discover the Lord Jesus standing by them today, pleading with them, seeking an entrance into their heart, seeking an entrance into their life and into their home, giving them an assurance of that which is yet to come. Our Father, we come humbly before thee. We know that we need our God today. And so, Lord, we commit this funeral service to thee, both here and at the graveside. We ask for that gracious help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Mander, for opening our service in prayer. Can I just take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for coming to the service today. The family appreciate your presence here today and wish to thank you for coming. And please remember that after the committal in Mountcastle Cemetery, there are refreshments for everyone back here at the church. I want to take a few moments to pay tribute to Graham Robinson. Graham was born in the year 1987. It was a year that was remarkable for a number of reasons. Margaret Thatcher was elected as the Prime Minister for the third time. In the town of Enniskillen, on Remembrance Sunday, there was a terrible explosion set off by IRA bombers that left 11 innocent people dead. Terry Waite, the envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury, was kidnapped in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. There was a great storm which hit southern England. And for those of you who follow sport, of course, that was the year that Coventry City beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-2 to win the FA Cup. Those who follow tennis will remember that in that year, the Australian tennis player Pat Cash won the Wimbledon Tennis Championships. And if there's anyone interested today in horse racing, it was in 1987 that Myrie Venture won the Grand National. So it was in this year that Graham William Robinson was born to Betty and to her late husband Harry. And he was born the youngest son into the home. Graham was educated at New Buildings Primary School and at Clondermot High School. And then whenever he left school, he went to work with MC Construction and O'Hare McGovern. But you know, Graham always loved the outdoors. And Graham was never happier than when he was on a tractor, when he was on the farm. And of course, he worked on the farms of the Bryson family and the Nixon family. How would we sum up the life of Graham Robinson? Well, I believe that we can talk of Graham's struggles and of Graham's strengths. Because though he had his struggles, yet he had most certainly his strengths. Graham had many struggles. He struggled with illness and injury. For a young man, he was often in the hospital. As a little boy at the age of 12, a link box fell on his leg, badly injuring the back of his leg. At the age of 16, Graham spent 6 weeks in hospital with a back injury. And even over recent times, Graham has also been in the hospital. I have visited Graham in the hospital. I can think back to a Sunday afternoon in Altnagelvin not very long ago, sitting by Graham's bedside, probably just 2 months ago, short time ago. And as I sat there and read the word of God to Graham and prayed with him, he was a very respectful young man that afternoon. He was a young man who showed great respect for the Lord and for his word. And one of the things that I will remember about Graham is just that. Behind it all, he was a young man who feared the Lord. Remember that the scriptures tell us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you want to be truly wise today, the first place to start is the fear of the Lord. A healthy respect for your Maker. A healthy reverence for the one who has given you life. And as I ministered to Graham Robinson, I certainly saw a young man who had the fear of God. But of course, Graham not only had his struggles with illness and with injury, but Graham also had his struggles with alcohol. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Do you know, young people, today alcohol is like a poisonous snake. And if we were to see a poisonous snake in this sanctuary this afternoon, we would run far from it. But why is it that people today won't run away from the curse of alcohol? Alcohol is like the venom of the poisonous snake. It's poison. It's harmful to body, mind, and soul. Consider these facts about alcohol and the consequences of alcohol. Alcohol is to blame for cirrhosis of the liver, brain damage, heart disease, cancer. I was actually reading this morning from the Cancer Research Charity. And apparently, recently, Cancer Research UK have been warning about how alcohol is becoming more and more widespread. The consumption of alcohol is becoming more and more widespread, and it is resulting in more and more cases of mouth cancer. We don't often hear about that. We hear about other cancers. But today, alcohol is responsible for mouth cancer. Alcohol will bring upon the drunkard chronic high blood pressure. It kills the oxygen-carrying red blood cells. It leads to depression and anxiety. You see, in our world today, people think that to get away from depression, to get away from anxiety, you go to the pub or you go to the off license. But I tell you, young people today, alcohol will only add to your depression. Alcohol will only add to your anxiety. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And young people today, rather than drinking at the broken cisterns of the pub or the off license, you go to Christ and you take a draught from him and by faith drink from the one who can give you living water. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So we've talked about the consequences of alcohol for the body, but I want to share with you today the greatest problem. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest problem I have with alcohol. You see, the Bible tells us that the drunkard will never be in heaven. Unless he repents, unless he calls out to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never be in heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that drunkenness is one of the seven, it's one of the deadly sins. It says, "Drunkenness and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." My friends, I say this lovingly to everyone gathered today. This gives me no pleasure today to have to warn young people about alcohol, but I must do it today because, young person, if you fall into a life of drunkenness, you will never be in God's heaven. It's too strong for you, and you're playing with fire. Yes, alcohol is a curse. There are two places in this village that you need to stay away from. The pub and the off license. Avoid them like the plague. So whenever I think of young Graham Robertson, I see his struggles. But then I see his strengths, because as I consider young Graham, I see that there are many things positive about his life. He had many positives. He had many strengths. There were many things in the life of Graham Robinson that I admired. And I said to myself, Lord, I would like to have that characteristic. You see, Graham was such a helpful, thoughtful young man. Just 2 weeks ago, Graham decided to join the organ donor register. He chose that after he would pass away, that his organs could be used to help someone else, to keep someone else alive. My, what an example to every one of us. His thoughtfulness, his helpfulness, and even in the midst of all his struggles, he was thinking of other people. But you know, whenever I think of young Graham donating his organs and thinking so much of other people, you know, I think of the greatest donor of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us that the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. The Son of God gave his very life for us. Jesus gave his life for you, for you, for you, for everyone in this meeting, even for an old wretch of a sinner like me. I see many strengths in young Graham Robinson. As we've already mentioned, he was a God-fearing young man. He was a young man who attended the Sunday school of this church from a young age. And I can recall just a matter of months ago, Graham coming into the Sunday school room one Sunday morning with his little children, leaving them off to the Sunday school. They were following in Daddy's footsteps. And today, of course, our hearts go out to the little ones. Our hearts ache for the little ones today. But thank God Graham thought enough of his children to bring them to the Sunday school. You know, friends, today there's no place like Sunday school. Yeah, some people think it's gone out of fashion, and there are parents today who have no time for Sunday school and they'll not bring their little ones to Sunday school. I think that's one of the greatest tragedies in life. But Graham Robinson wasn't that kind of parent, because he knew the importance of sending his little ones to the Sunday school. Graham, of course, not only attended the Sunday school, but whenever it came to 11:30 and the Sunday school was over, you would find Graham sitting in the sanctuary in the main church building waiting for the morning service. And he used to sit among the congregation, even as a little boy of 5 or 6. I think that is wonderful. I think that's a blessed sight. Oh, what a blessed sight it is for a minister to look down into the congregation and to see the little one sitting there. It's a blessing for any church. Yes, they might make a little noise, but we can put up with that. We're just thrilled. We're just delighted to have them in the house of God. Graham attended the church in more recent times. I think back to the end of 2009, one Sunday evening, just before Christmas at the carol service, whenever Graham came in to that Sunday evening service, and my heart was thrilled to see him here. And I know that he was listening. He was taking in the Word of God. Just at the beginning of this year, I think back to a Saturday night whenever the former minister of the church, the Reverend Eric Moore, came to speak to the young adults. And Graham was found in that meeting, and you know, even better than that, he brought his little daughter into the meeting too. Now, I think little Jody fell asleep in the meeting, but I wouldn't blame her. It was just lovely to see her there. Yes, Graham knew the importance of attending the house of God. But as I finish this tribute today, I want to say a word to Betty and to the boys and to Karen and Claire and to little Jody and Rihanna and Devon. Can I just remind you of the lovely words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Do you know that verse means that the Lord Jesus comforts those who are sorrowful. And you can be assured today that in your sorrow that the sympathizing Jesus will be there to help you and to comfort you. But you know that text of Scripture means something else. Whenever the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn," he was also talking about another kind of mourning. He was speaking about those who would mourn over their sin. He was speaking about those who would mourn over the fact that he, the Son of God, would have to go to an old rugged cross to die for their sins. That's the kind of mourning the Lord Jesus was talking about. And the Lord Jesus says that those who will mourn over their sins, those who will mourn over the bleeding Lamb of God at Calvary, they'll be comforted. They'll be comforted in the knowledge that their sins are forgiven, that their sins have been blotted out and cast into the depths of the sea. And then, Betty, can I share with you a word today? It's from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And you know, the other day, as I was sitting in your home, I happened to look up to the wall, to the picture that you have on your wall, and the lovely text of Scripture, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You know, Betty, that peace comes from the precious blood. That peace that you so desperately need at this time, that peace comes from the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I want to assure you today that that precious peace that was purchased at Calvary will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep the heart and the mind of our dear sister. It will keep the heart and the mind of the grieving loved ones, and indeed each one of us today who will come and will trust upon the finished work of Christ. Can I just take this opportunity to thank the ladies for preparing the food today? We really appreciate their ministry to us. We appreciate all the hard work that has gone in to the preparation of the refreshments. You've all come at 2 o'clock, but the ladies were here long before that, preparing lovingly and diligently for the time of refreshment. So, as I mentioned earlier, everyone is welcome back to the church hall here after the committal. And on behalf of the congregation here, at the Independent Methodist Church, can I express our sincere sympathy to the family circle. I want to read another portion of Scripture. We're drawing toward the close of the meeting. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. There are pew Bibles in front of you, so please make use of them. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're reading from verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Friends, I want to speak for a few moments about the two appointments that you cannot avoid. Because the Bible tells us of two appointments that none of us can avoid. If we have an appointment with the bank manager, well, we can pick up the phone and we can cancel the appointment. If we have an appointment with our financial advisor, we can do likewise and cancel the agreement. If we have a hospital appointment or a doctor's appointment, a dentist's appointment, or an appointment with the optician, we can cancel all of these appointments. We can avoid every one of them. But I want to share today two appointments that you cannot avoid. Two appointments that I cannot avoid. The first one is your appointment with the Grim Reaper. Your appointment with the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper. You see, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die. My dear friends, the Bible dismisses reincarnation. You see, there are people today who would say and who would teach that whenever you die, then you come back in some other form. And it's like a cycle that keeps going on. But the Bible teaches no such thing. The Bible teaches us today that we will die once and we will not return. It is appointed unto men once to die. I wonder, have you ever considered that? Your appointment with the Grim Reaper. Your appointment with death. We all followed Graham's remains from the home in Foyle Crescent earlier today. But I want to make it clear at this funeral service this afternoon that someday we're all going to follow Graham into the coffin. And someday every one of us will be in the coffin. Someday, dear friend, you will be in the same position as Graham Robinson. You may think it will never happen. You may think that it will never come to you. You may think that it only happens to other people. But Sir Graham, at the start of this week, never thought that he would be in the coffin. So unexpected. So out of the blue. But the reality is, and it's not me that says it, it's the God of heaven. It is appointed unto men once to die. Whenever I read this verse of Scripture, I not only think about our appointment with death and how that we will die once, but then I remember someone else who died once and he will never die again. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Bible emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ died once and once only. He made a sacrifice for sins once. He did not repeat that sacrifice. He does not need to repeat that sacrifice. He died almost 2,000 years ago as a sacrifice for sins. And that sacrifice never has needed to be repeated, and it will never need to be repeated. It was sufficient, it was perfect, and it was complete. The Lord Jesus died once. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Praise be to his name. Calvary was enough. It was enough for me. And it's enough for you. You can be saved. You can be born again. You can be transformed. You can be set free from the power of alcohol or whatever sin it is that binds you. It's all because the Lord Jesus died once. And then one final thought today as we finish this service. I want you to consider not only your appointment with the grim reaper, but your appointment with the great Redeemer. Your appointment with the great Redeemer. Because Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You know, friends, whenever death comes to every one of us, we're going to go out and we're going to stand before the great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who created us at the very beginning, the one who breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and we became a living soul. We shall stand before him, the great Redeemer. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Easter Sunday is a terrible day for those who know not Christ. Now, we've just celebrated Easter recently. But dear friend, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, Easter Sunday ought to strike terror into your soul. Because on that first Easter Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is the proof. That's the evidence that he's coming back to judge the world. And he's coming back to judge you and me. Aye, we all have an appointment with the great Redeemer. We need to make preparation. I wonder, have you made preparation to meet the grim reaper and the great Redeemer? Have you ever made preparation? Have you ever taken time amid the hustle and bustle of life? And mind you, life is going at 1,000 miles an hour. Have you ever slowed down just to consider your soul? Just to consider if you had been in the coffin today, where would you be? The great Spanish golfer Seve Ballesteros has passed away. We remember his great ability when it came to the golf course. And those who are interested in golf, maybe there are those who play golf. And you, like me, you can remember the Ryder Cup and Seve Ballesteros being one of the dead certs to gain a point for the European team. He had such a tremendous gift when it came to the sport of golf. But Mr. Ballesteros is no longer with us. He's gone the way of all the earth. He has passed away at the age of 54. You see, whether we're famous or whether we're not famous, we all must go the same way. We all must face death. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 that David prepared abundantly before his death. That's exactly the words that the Scriptures uses. David prepared abundantly before his death. I wonder, friend, have you ever prepared like David? Do you know David's Savior, the great King of Israel? Do you know his Redeemer?
We remain standing and we pray. Father God, we thank you for this act of worship and for the word of God that has been spoken and preached here this afternoon. We commend Betty and the family into your care and safekeeping as we leave this church today. And we pray, Lord, that they may know either your promise in their lives that those who mourn will be comforted. Amen. So, Lord, we commend all the family to you. We pray that the God of peace, who brought again the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, will grant to you and to all who mourn comfort and peace and the joy of everlasting life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you as you mourn this afternoon and forevermore. Amen.